Now, every Wednesday, we head over to Ellettsville, and Monroe County Councilwoman Marty Hawk is eagerly awaiting our visit. She has plenty of things to do to get us caught up on busy times in county government, but at least the sun's out today, Marty. It's beautiful. How are you?
It is a beautiful day. Aren't we blessed to be in Monroe County? I mean, the leaves are starting to turn just a little bit, and it's just a beautiful day. So I hope everyone is able to get out there and enjoy it and have something good to look forward to.
Beautiful budget time, too, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. Yes. You know,
budget season.
Do I need a county government? I really do.
Do I need a budget season license, or can I just come and go as I please here? Well, you help me every Wednesday, and I know we have some big deadlines coming up, and some big meetings, and some big stuff that happened yesterday. Take it away, Marty Hawk.
Well, the one thing I want us to remember and to look at is remember when the city passed that economic development tax. And that was a tax on everybody, whether you lived in the city or out of the city, but the county got a portion of it. And so when you look at those dollars, because we've not been spending it, remember, we had indicated we were going to save that back to pay for the jail. But just a heads up, here's what it looks like, that by the end of next year, in other words, the budget total revenues for this year and what carried forward, we started out, in other words, what carried forward and it would end up in 2023 would be $10,582,000. And then we the money that we anticipate that we would be getting in for next year, it looks as though we would be ending up with $21,831,000. So that helps us get toward what we need to do for the jail if we don't spend it down on everything else. Now here's where it was difficult for me, because I have generally not supported bond increases to pay for a bond, because when we do that, we have to say that we simply don't have the money to do what we're proposing to do with this extra tax we're going to put on everybody. We just don't have it, so we have to tax you to do it. And I find that really hard to say when I know this money's sitting there. But we also know that we've said we're going to use it for the jail. So we can't very well fix us those soccer fields that we're talking about we're doing, and so many people want us to do that, and do the jail with the same dollars. So we've got to figure out. So for the first time in a long time, I've thought, okay, I better support this bond, because it is in part going to help us with the soccer fields. It's also for some devices for the sheriff's cars, a whole lot of other things. You know, when you have old buildings, there's always repairs, always something that you have to do with the old buildings. So anyway, it was a tough decision for me, because that just throws in that extra tax that everybody's paying every year. They could take it up to $5 million, but they didn't. They kept it at $3 million. But boy, I remember the days when we thought we had really done something, you know, big at a $1 million. So see how it just creeps up?
Inflation.
Well, I guess. But which one of us do not want to help with the soccer fields and with the trails and whatever? No, I never going to get out there and play soccer, but a lot of folks do, and in addition to which, it will help with our revenue for tourism as well as the trails. So,
absolutely.
There you go. So I shocked everybody when I said that, because they were all waiting on me to say, no, I don't support this. So that was difficult.
Well, and I don't think it's difficult for the reasons you just stated. The difficulty isn't the perhaps day-to-day fixing of buildings and increasing things such as tourism and trying to get better that for more things. Because, Marty, I don't plan on using the jail. You're not planning on using the jail, but that's awfully important, too.
Right. And we have to continue to take care of the building where the jail is now. We can't just sit there and do nothing with it while we're waiting on making a decision where the jail is going to be built or what it's going to look like or, you know, this sort of like we don't know yet. And they you know, they've had a lot of meetings, and no matter where you decide you want to put the jail, and I should say where you want to, it'll be up to the county commissioners. Even though they say it's up to the county council, nobody wants to take responsibility. But the, you know, the neighborhood really has indicated they don't want it there on the Thompson property. And yet we've already paid for that property. You have. When I say we, that means you, the taxpayers, right. Already paid for that property. If we determine we're not going to use that because the neighborhood doesn't want it, we're going to have to put it someplace else where another group of neighborhood might want it, and we'll have to pay for the property again. So that would depend. Depending on whether or not where we put that and whether we use property we've already paid for will be how much money is actually sitting there that we can use in that economic development tax. And I mention that because I keep watching it because I have said when everybody was proposing that, when I say everybody, the county commissioners said 8.5% increase, that county auditors pushing hard, 8.5%, saying there's money for it. And I'm saying, look, show me the money. Show me how we can do that. And so last night, we did have a report that came from our financial advisors, the FSG company, and it showed that we would not run out of money to do this with for a couple of years. I think I said 2026 is where we're really going to have a difficult time. Now, that's difficult for me because when you look out 2 years, I'm not sure that's long enough time to make you feel good about being able to make payroll. However, I know that I have a more conservative, fiscally conservative outlook on things than many people. But one of the things that was being said to us by the advisors was that by that time, they anticipate we're going to see a big difference once the annexation takes place. And so part of the conversation amongst some on the council was that they maybe should be talking with their city colleagues to hopefully stop the annexation process or to in some way work together, because that's going to change all of the things that the county has planned to do.
Well, here's the other thing I know about all of this. If you give these raises, you're not taking them back in 2 years when it doesn't quote-unquote work out. You'll just add another tax to pay for them.
Well, you either do that or you simply don't have the money to pay all those employees, and you have to reduce staff. Now, if the annexation actually happens, I would expect they probably would have to reduce staff in some areas. However, how do you reduce staff at the jail? I don't think you do. It isn't like as if the city has a jail, they can start doing that.
Right.
And they don't have the courts. They don't have any of the courts. Like some cities have a city court. Our city doesn't have the city
court. Don't give them any ideas. Don't give them any ideas.
Well, we could send that work back to them. But there's so much that the county must do that we must do by law. And so we can't just say, oh, well, the city can do this because the city doesn't do the assessing. The city doesn't do the recording and the auditor's job and so forth. So there's where we have a problem. So I'm glad that we had this report. It wasn't exactly what I would have liked to have seen. And others were saying the same thing, that we're accustomed there's something called the 4B, which just shows you right here's where the miscellaneous revenue is, and here's where our new tax levy is, and this is how much the budget is, and this is what you've got left. And that's what we are accustomed to seeing. And so I'm hoping that in time our staff will know how to do that, and they do it in part on the gateway system, the reporting that we do at the state level. And then things have to keep changing, and they have to make the changes there. But we need to know every time we have a vote on how we're increasing these budgets, as we're going along in the budget session, this is how much you've got to work with. And then we know when we're cutting it down or adding to it where we are as we go. So it was an interesting evening. It went on for a long time, another almost four-hour meeting, but we started out with a lot of other things first, with a lot of appropriations having to do with grants. And for the first time in, I think it was probably a shock to them, that I questioned a lot of these grants that was being presented, because, you know, when we're talking about grants, it's nice. I don't know how we could operate really without all the grant money that's coming in. But a grant coming from the state or wherever, it requires you to do something in order to get the money for the grant. And so I was questioning the things, for instance, if we agree to with the state that we will work with them with a community transition program, that is those inmates that are coming out of the Department of Correction early for an early release, that the state will pay us so much a day for these people that came for this early release. And so I was concerned about that, and I asked about that. Now, this is not the same thing as the reentry court, because that's a whole other ballgame. But in this particular one, the probation department did respond when I asked the question, is this for just anybody at the Department of Corrections, or is this just for Monroe County folks? And in this particular case, it is for if they were adjudicated here and sentenced here in Monroe County and then went to the Department of Corrections and then they worked out an early release date with the courts, then our court, under Judge Rekoff, could determine whether or not we wanted or would even accept this as an early release into this program. So that made me feel a bit better in that it's not going to be just anybody that DOC wants to send to us.
Yeah, it has to be here in the county, right?
It has to be. However, let's say if we have, as you know, well, many of us have been very concerned about what we consider criminal transients. We've had a lot of that. They seem to come here with criminal intent in their minds to come here, and they're more of a transient kind of a thing. Well, if they're arrested here and in our jail and judged here to go to DOC, then maybe they'd be available and eligible to come back here. So I don't know, and I don't think anybody really knows what the real answer is going to be for this. However, did you see that there is a discussion about moving the Shalom Center, the Beacon Center?
Yes.
And that would be moved further away from neighborhoods, supposedly, is what it's talking about there. It's going to be there where the Weddle Brothers was. It's very near the Rose Hill Cemetery. It is, however, a much larger facility. It's going to be very large. And so the neighborhood there, of course, many of the people who were supporting, we need to do something for those who have these problems, now that it's moving closer to their home, I'm not so sure they think that's such a good idea. But we'll find out. It they don't, it doesn't appear that they have the money right now to do the whole project as they're talking about. No doubt they will perhaps come to the county to ask for more of this money, or will this some of this heading home money, you know, the first million two that went to United Way that they're using for heading home, and the next however much is going to be provided for that, will that be used in some such for this building? And that's just a question. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody discuss it. So
interesting. And we'll keep our eyes and ears on. Well, that's right. And who does that go through, Marty, to decide whether there is enough funding to move, or do is that all public meeting? How does that work?
Well, that, you know, that's a nonprofit. That's not a county operated facility.
But the funding that comes from wherever the funding comes from, does that?
They would have to come and ask for that funding, and that request, of course, would go first to the commissioners, and then the commissioners are supposed to come and work with the council to say, would you be willing to provide them X, Y, and Z, however much money. Now, that's the way it's supposed to work. However, we just had a discussion about this last night where the county commissioners had already started moving forward with assisting a nonprofit, the Indiana Recovery Alliance, to help them get some property and get a vehicle and whatever that was discussed last night. And they'd already moved forward with this without coming to the county council to say, do we have your blessing? You know, here's the money we need. They hadn't done that. Well, they came to make it. It was only supposed to be for a discussion last night, but then they were getting messages, well, they've already made this decision. So I want to look at that contract, because something about there's going to be some kind of contingency that it will, sounded to me like maybe there'd be a reversion if it would revert back to the county, the property. They just didn't call it a reversion. They called it something else. But I need to look at that to see if the county tax dollars are going to be helping to pay for a piece of property. I don't think that you can just hand that over to somebody and we'll just have to look at that, see what the legal outcome of that's going to be. Now, I think the majority of the council supports this. I'm not a big fan of that, because I'm not a fan of the needle program. As a matter of fact, one of the things they talked about last night, that we're one of only 8 counties that even have this program, that they'd had it in many other counties, and that other counties are dropping off and saying, we don't want it. So I'm not a big fan of it, but nevertheless, when I'm sitting there and there's 6 other people that you know plan to support this, the least we can do is work with the commissioners, or certainly we should expect the commissioners to be working in respect with the county council and making sure that they are getting the approval of the county council before they start moving forward and spending money and doing obligations of the county, because that's the way it's supposed to work. Before we have to hang up, one thing I wanted to mention, we got a message from Steve Pritchard, who is a chair of the Board of Health, and they are required to have a political makeup of their board, and then right now they have 6 members of the board, and so they need a 7th one, and that one has to be a Republican. So for anybody who is listening, if they are a Republican and have any interest in serving on the Monroe County Health Board, now you don't have to have a background in public health. But it would be helpful, of course, but it's not necessary. So if you have an interest in serving on the Board of Health, Mr. Pritchard has indicated that you could call him for more information. He'd be happy to provide it. It's 812-325-3070.
And by Republican, you mean somebody who is a card-carrying, issued, voted in Republican stuff, correct?
Well, of course, I don't think you get a card to carry to say you're a Republican, but you can. They can look back to see
right.
how you voted in the primary, and so that's how it could work. But I'm just repeating what his
Absolutely.
Letter said that he sent to us. I'll repeat that number again. It's 812-325-3070. And the reason why this is, it's always important, of course, but even more so now because we are going to be receiving so much money from the state to expand the services of that health board. And so it's important that somebody, that they all will be watching what's going on in the health department and have their say in this. And so I'm hoping they'll do that. Now, we're getting, you know, for a while we were seeing some real major pushback that things weren't going so well in the health department. But lately what we've been looking at is they've been looking at old grants and old reportings and so forth and finding errors there that they are trying to get everything cleaned up and everything the way it's supposed to be. And kudos to them. You know, sometimes it takes a while to get back on track. So let's hope that's where we're headed on there. So, but, you know, if it takes 7 members of the board, now they can go ahead and meet if they don't have the 7th one. Because they still have enough for a quorum. You know, that's just the same thing as with the CIB for the convention center. They could have met, at which they did, and they still didn't have their 7th person. I haven't heard yet who that 7th person is.
For the CIB board?
Yes.
That will be, I think, announced at the first week in November in that meeting, just a couple days after Election Day.
Right. I just thought maybe you heard some.
Oh, so I'll have Spoon. Eric Spoonmore will be on Monday, so I will ask him directly on Monday at 3:35 where they're at, where they're going. Do they have a list of candidates to look at? Hopefully he will take me inside that process, Marty.
That'll be really good. Now, in the meantime, don't forget that if you want your voice to be heard about the school referendum, it does not matter if you don't live in the city. If you live any place where you are a part of the Monroe County Community School System, you can vote on this. And so remember, this is your time to have your voice heard on what you want to do to support the school, or whether you're looking at it and you're going, whoa, no, not this year, whatever it is you wish to do. But make sure that you have your voice heard, because once that poll closes for, you know, after this election year's over, it is too late. Then it'll go on there. So I haven't heard as much about this time around. Have you?
I talk to the school folks once a week, so I always get reminded by that. The signs are in the yards around the district I live in. So I guess it's I don't know if people think it's a foregone conclusion, but. But no, you're exactly right, Marty. It is on the ballot for those anybody involved. Now the other catch is, hopefully you registered before midnight last night, because early voting started today. There's no recourse on that. So yes, to make your voice heard, go ahead and do so. But I think, to your point, it did not have the great push as the other one did in the sense of advertising or what else. Because it's not, I don't think the scale is as broad. Maybe those are my words, not anybody else's, but I have that same feeling, yes.
Right. It seemed different to me. Of course, I'm not as connected to it because that's not the school system where my, you know,
right.
my residence falls. So at any rate, I just want to keep reminding people, because you'd be surprised how many people say, well, Marty, you didn't tell us.
We tell everybody, Marty. It's whether they choose to. Sometimes you hear, but you don't listen, and sometimes you just don't hear at all. So there's two ways to get involved with all of that. And we try every Wednesday. It's not for lack of trying. That is absolutely, absolutely true. And we'll do it again next week as well.
Okay, great.